Track 9, Celebrity Spotlight. I warned you about surprises. We're now going to hear about a singer who I knew of only as a superb jazz singer. But we'll now discover that Dame Cleo Lane had far more talents than just singing jazz with Johnny Dankworth. Here is Maggie to tell us more.
This month, we look at the life of a celebrated singer with an agile contralto voice who, with her husband John Dankworth, helped bring new audiences to jazz. Cleo Lane, whose full name was Clementine Dinah Bullock, singer and actor, was born on the 27th of October, 1927, and died on the 24th of July, 2025.
Knowing now that he cared, I will always remember moments we shared. No.
Lane was not only the most creatively and materially successful jazz singer the UK scene has known, but was also respected worldwide as one of a handful of truly original jazz-inspired vocalists. From modest beginnings in the pubs and dance halls of austerity Britain in the 1950s, the diminutive singer with a majestic and agile contralto voice went on to achieve international fame in a career that also embraced acting and writing. Lane could travel easily in almost any idiom, from jazzy standards singing to the frontiers of classical music and opera. And she was the only female singer to receive Grammy nominations in the jazz, popular and classical categories. When she became the first British artist to win a Grammy as Best Female Jazz Vocalist for the third of her live Carnegie Hall albums in 1985, she received 24 roses from Ella Fitzgerald and a card inscribed, "Congratulations, it's about time." Lane's onstage glamour would give way to a far more worldly and down-to-earth magnetism as soon as the spotlight was off. A candid and personable woman, she impressed those who met her with her easygoing alertness, unexpectedly small stature for those who'd previously only encountered her on a concert stage, and penetrating green eyes framed by dark curls.
That the glow of your being outshines every star. You're filled part of every mountain, sea and shore. You will hear from far and near a world you never heard before. And on a clear day, on a clear day, you can see.
Lane was born in Southwell, West London, one of three children of a Jamaican father, Alexander Campbell, and an English mother, Minnie Bullock, who took in lodgers. Raised as Clementina Campbell, she showed early singing talent and was encouraged by her mother to take singing and dancing lessons. After leaving school at 14, she found work in a hairdresser's, milliner's, pawn shop, cobbler's and a library, and married for the first time to George Langridge in 1947 while still in her teens. But she was restless, and the example of her father, who sang and loved music but made his living selling goods door to door, had also given her an inkling that a life in music might provide an escape. Modelling herself on the black singers she'd heard in American musicals such as Cabin in the Sky, she unintentionally developed a sound that was conspicuously different to that of most popular female singers of the 50s and 40s. Choosing black artists seems obvious to her, and the threatening implications of being in a racial minority in Britain were not as evident as they were to become later in the 50s. Lane recalled, however, that as a child during the Second World War, she'd speculated on where children herself might hide if Nazism won. In her mid-20s, Lane began seriously to apply herself to singing. She'd started out in pubs. Useful training for improvisation, she would ruefully recall, and eventually auditioned for the successful British modern jazz band led by Dankworth. Though she was a raw unknown, Dankworth and his musicians recognised her promise. "I was amazed they liked me," Lane told The Guardian in 1997. "I'd begun to think auditions were my hobby. I'd been rejected on dozens of them and talent competitions too." But Dankworth was after somebody different, and Lane was unusual as a rich-toned contralto. She listened closely to Billie Holiday for her presence and sense of drama, Fitzgerald for the thought processes and technique that allowed her to improvise so exuberantly, and Sarah Vaughan for her operatic range. The mature Lane was to exhibit all these qualities. She toured the UK extensively with the Dankworth Band in the mid-50s. She divorced Langridge in 1957 and the following year married Dankworth and shared the care of her first son Stuart, by then 13, and sometimes a traveller with her on the road, with her mother and sister. She accompanied Dankworth to the US in 1959 for his appearances at Newport Jazz Festival and sang with the band at Birdland in New York on the same trip. She also started to act and was initially confined to Caribbean roles, but her skill bloomed, and she was to regard her appearances at the Edinburgh Festival in the 60s and in A Midsummer Night's Dream 1967 as high points. But there were many others. Flesh to a Tiger, directed by Tony Richardson at the Royal Court Theatre in 1958. The English musical Valmuth, the title role in Ibsen's Hedda Gabler, plus musical appearances in Showboat, Collect, The Seven Deadly Sins, A Little Night Music and The Merry Widow. She also originated the role of Princess Puffer and won several awards and nominations for it in the Broadway hit musical The Mystery of Edwin Drood in 1985. She took on parts as diverse as the voice of God in the BBC Proms production of Benjamin Britten's Noyd's Flood 1990 and The Witch in Stephen Sondheim's Los Angeles production of Into the Woods 1988.
My fault, I fear. I thought that you would want what I would want. Sorry, my dear, but where are the clowns? Quick, send in the clowns. Don't bother, they're here.
Over the next decades, Lane collaborated with flautist James Galway, 1980, and classical guitarist John Williams, 1984, contributed to Michael Tilson Thomas's LSO series, The Gershwin Years, 1987, and a tribute to female songwriters including Joni Mitchell and Holiday, Woman to Woman, 1989. Her bluesily soulful encounter with Ray Charles, Porgy and Bess, 1976, was a highlight, as was a hip and swinging meeting with Mel Torme, Nothing Without You, in 1992. Lane also appeared alongside Frank Sinatra during a week of concerts at the Royal Albert Hall in 1992. Following her autobiography, Cleo, 1994, Lane also published You Can Sing If You Want To, 1997, an informal guide to learning to use the voice freely and confidently as an instrument. The Dankwas slowed down only marginally in their 70s. Their concerts worldwide still continue to sell out. And when Lane hit 80 in 2007, Dankwas' 80th having preceded hers by a month, she performed a series of UK shows, including a reunion of the John Dankwas sextet that had set her stardom in motion. Dankwas' health declined late in 2009 on a US tour that had to be curtailed. He died on the morning of the 10th of February 2010. He and Lane, plus a glitzy cast of guests, had been due to play at Wavedon that night to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the Stables Theatre. Impelled by the conviction that Dankwas would have wanted the celebration to go on, Lane went home from the hospital, played the gig, and broke the news of his death to a stunned audience only at the close. For her musicianship and for that breadth of view, she acquired a raft of accolades and prizes, and in 1997 she was made a dame. Her achievements were a rich blend of the creative journey and the crusade qualities of a musical life that she and Dankwas conducted with the lightest of touches. Despite all the globe-trotting, the jet lag and the impossible schedules, it seemed more fun to them than working.
To write the words again, that all in love is fair. A writer takes his pen to write the words again. That all in love is fair.
Thank you, Maggie. What an amazing singer and actress she was.